Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Mm. 11 days till the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, it was hopeless outside of this particular awesome day that we celebrate of Jesus' birth. And of all the things you think about as you're going to a city, I don't know if you've ever been to a city before or a community before where an event was going on or something was happening, but there's no vacancies. There's no vacancies. And so you check this one, you check that one. I remember going to a Promise Keepers event in New Orleans. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that sometimes. And we got there, and we already had reservations, you know, on Canal Street. It was at the Days Inn or something right off the Interstate 10. It's in visual distance of the Superdome, which, of course, Pat is in awe. And and we get there, and they're overbooked.
They're overbooked. Oh, no.
And, of course, you have all these Christian men that are coming there looking mm-hmm. at the ability to bear fruit now.
Right.
You know, is now when you're finding out you are on Canal Street in New Orleans.
Being severely tested,
and you do not have a room. Mm. And, of course, you know, I was very patient and kind. I think I said something, you know, this is my early days, right? You're going to give us our room.
Right.
I invited, you know, Pat was a heathen then, I believe. Were you a heathen then?
Oh.
You weren't? It was close.
What is a heathen?
It was fresh. He still smelled like heathen. No, he was a brand new believer. And
I wouldn't have went.
You wouldn't have?
No.
Superdome?
Maybe.
Yeah, all right. Superdome. And then we had two other people with us. We'll talk about that right now. And which was hilarious. Whole nother story. Oh, yeah. And we're standing there with four guys, you know, about to have this big event in the Superdome. And this clerk looks at us and just basically says, you know, you don't have any room. We don't have any rooms. And they're all kind of looking at us like that. And, of course, I said, listen, you know, because I invited everybody to go. And I said, you got to give us a room. I mean, you got to have a room. And so they lean down and they whisper in somebody's ear and said something to the idea is like, give them 401. You know, you know, I was like, oh, my goodness, the room that they never rent, we got. And whatever it was. And it was like, it was rare in things to help you out. It was a basic, very basic room. I think it was a broom closet that threw some beds in. I don't know. It was a rough room. And that is definitely an amazing time. But there was no room. Imagine that. You're stuck here in this city. Now imagine you're there with a pregnant wife. Mm. You know, she's going through contractions, and she's just going, you know, I mean, she can't say, Joseph, you got me into this, like, you know, because God's the father of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But she's going through contractions. Think about that.
Yeah, and there's no hospital.
Well, you think about it, the contractions going down even today in the earth. Or the earth is contracting about the birth, the return of our Lord. But now at this point, our Lord is a child in the womb of Mary about to be birthed. And just like it was for us in New Orleans, there was no vacancies. There was no room for Mary and Joseph. And think about it. They had no idea that they weren't providing a room for the Son of God. Can you imagine, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, I should have gave them my room. I can't believe that I didn't give them my room. And of course, Jesus is so humble, and God's trying to, he's humble and he's showing us humility that he's willing to be born in a barn, in a manger, you know, and that's what happened. There was no room. And here she is going through these, you know, contractions and the day's getting close. And there was no room for Jesus in the, we would say the hotel or motel, but they said the inn, you know, I-N-N. And it's just like, oh my goodness, that is just totally something. But yet, despite having no room, that they still found a place. Joseph found a place for his wife to comfort her in a barn, in a place where the animals were kept, in a manger, made a manger out of what was there, laid, and then Jesus was born and laid Jesus in this manger. Of course, all of heaven is watching this because this is the birth of the Son of God. And men are still pondering all this, trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, some shepherds come. You know, shepherds come because they have this appearance of angels and, you know, says, for unto you today. Mm. And these awesome things. And then these wise men started coming with the gifts of frankincense and myrrh. And they're seeing in gold because they saw a sign, a star. And I mean, all these, everything's shifting. Everybody's going, this is it. This is it. And Mary and Joseph are just pondering, you know, I was just trying to find a room. We just finally got a baby. And it took a while to kind of, you know, what does this mean? And this is a powerful day that we celebrate. That's why you have manger scenes put up in people's homes. And that's why you find that the people that are held captive by Satan, they let their mouths and their hearts be used by the adversary, are against putting a manger scene up, because that is a depiction of this day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because you think, why would the world, you know, a few little wooden things or plastic things with a light on it and some live sheep around it and a little small little baby and some straw, what's the big deal? Because it's a huge deal. It's the representation of the day that God met man, that Jesus left the splendors of heaven and came, was born of a woman to be all man and all God, though he did not use any part of his Godhead. He just lived his life as a man. And that was the day that that the enemy knows. So a manger scene is like, to Satan, is like the worst case scenario, because that's the day that proves that Jesus was born of a woman, but yet his father was God, and that he was going to take away the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sin is what kept, you know, Satan's crew together. But when you get your sin forgiven, he loses you. The captive set free by Jesus. So he hates the manger scene. So don't take it lightly when somebody says, hey, you know, that, you know, we want to take this manger scene down. Just say no.
Right.
Just say no. And I was so excited. I mentioned earlier, I think last week, that there was a city, a little small city, that was threatened by ACLU, that if they put up their manger scene, they were going to be sued. So they decided, a roundabout way of not putting it up by saying it's old, we're not going to buy a new one. Well, I'm so excited to report that several churches heard about that in the area. They bought the manger scene for like $5 or something from the government, and they set it up on a property right across the street from City Hall.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
That's so beautiful. That's what we got to do. We got to just take charge and say, you know, we can work this out. Mm. As a matter of fact, every city needs a piece of public viewed private land that the church owns, that you can do whatever you want to as a witness. You know, find right in the center of the city, you know, buy some building or something, tear it down, whatever you got to do, and that's your piece of property that you're going to put crosses on, you're going to put, you know, celebrate Easter on. Everybody's got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cool with that. You know, they want to talk about separation of church and state. Well, fine. Okay. Then when the state needs to shrink, it needs to get smaller. That's fine. Sell all your assets, get rid of everything, small government, and give us our money back, and we'll take that money, and we'll buy land, and it'll be our land, and we'll put whatever we want on the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the government's trying to, you know, it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
And that works if the government gets small, but if you keep buying everything, it's like, hey, we got to put it up somewhere. But several churches went and bought the very same manger scene that ACLU, or actually the devil through the ACLU, was trying to keep from going up, and ended up right across from City Hall in that small city.
Beautiful.
Wow. I encourage you, don't just throw your hands up when you see that. Just think about what you can do. And it's a business that was right across the street that was out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, use our property. Go ahead and use our property. They set it up right in front of the business, right in the face of the city who denied, the city councilman who denied putting that up. You know, I just pray that the city councilman just repents and say, you know what? You know, even if we get sued, even think about this. We got to learn to understand that when you stand up for God, everybody's not happy. And half of the New Testament was written from prison.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was crucified. James was hung.
Right.
Peter was crucified upside down. When you stand up for God, I mean, things are going to happen. So we can't keep avoiding pain and justify before God and say, hey, you know, Lord, they were going to take $10 from me, and I didn't want those $10, so you understand why I didn't acknowledge you today.
Right.
But think, you can't explain that at the throne room of God. You can't explain it. So I encourage you, you know, let's put up, you know, for every manger scene taken down, let's put up 10 more. I mean, you can get them. You can order them online. They got these wooden manger scenes now that are pretty cool. This seems like pretty basic stuff that you just kind of put together and shine light on it. It looks really sharp. They got plastic ones, but anything just represents, you know, what happened on Christmas Day. And it reminds people. That's why the enemy's against it. And we have 11 days. We're 11 days away from Christmas. You know, and so many kids and so many people are excited about this day because a lot of reasons. But we as believing parents, you know, we need to be able to Tell them what it's all about and show them what it's all about, and think about service to others. I mean, mm-hmm. Think about reaching outside, and for every dollar that we spend on ourselves, let's spend a dollar on somebody outside our family that's in need. I mean, think about it. If you buy one gift for, you know, Bobby, we'll also buy a gift for this homeless man, this homeless lady, or, you know, feed somebody, or, you know, buy a bag of gifts. When the sheriff's department was a deputy, the deputies used to gather a whole bunch of gifts, and we put it in a big bag, and then a family would get nominated, and then we would drop that whole bag of gifts off to a family that was needy that didn't have any Christmas. And all of a sudden, these deputies would come in with these big bag of gifts, you know, big sack of gifts, and
a
tree with nothing under it, and it would just be filled with gifts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was just an awesome, awesome thing. It's time to really think about others, because when Jesus was born, he was born to die because of others, because of Father God, his Father, and because of us. That he loved us so much that he was willing to endure the cross, its scorn and its shame, for the joy that was set on the other side of being with us. And so I just want to encourage you this Christmas, just to, you know, remember what it's about. It's about Christmas. Christmas.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.